strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert.
Murray's gonna score! Touchdown! Slammed to the ground by Buda Baker. Like a torpedo, he came flying into the backfield.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford and Gilbert. Right on the price. Right on the corner of the Santan 202 Freeway in Val Vista. SeatGeek, your ticket to great seats. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcast. Visit azcardinals.com/podcast.
The Red Sea is rising up!
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
I'm ready. I'm 100% ready. I'm telling you I'm ready.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
All right, here we go, Red Sea. That's the cue. Let's bring it right here because we all know what pass rushers like the most. And that is a lot of noise, right? Got to get a jump off the line. Because the NFL, let me explain football to you, Ron Wolfley. The NFL is all about quarterback and get to the quarterback.
I see, Paul.
And we happen to have the guy tonight here on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. We have the young man who just became the first Cardinals rookie with two sacks in a game in a dozen years. How about that?
Yeah, it's incredible.
And he also has a new nickname, according to Kaiser White in the locker room, who referred to him earlier with the media today, saying he's two-sack Ojulari, otherwise known as B.J. Ojulari here on the Big Red
there
Rage.
There we go.
Give it up, everyone. B.J., how are we doing on this? By the way, if you're wondering what's going on outside, that's rain. I know we haven't seen it in many months, so yeah. Just as a refresher for anyone who's a little confused, that's rain that just started out here.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in a couple months. I'm actually kind of excited.
I am too, actually. No doubt.
So, B.J., yeah. Your rookie season, man, how do you think it's going so far?
I think it's going good so far. You know, we haven't got the results that we wanted, but I think as a team we're trending in the right direction. There's a lot of great veterans in the locker room that are leading me and keeping me uplifted and encouraged to do better.
We had Kaiser White a couple months ago here on the Big Red Rage, right? He's a guy that commands a lot of attention, doesn't he? I mean, just tell us about some of those veterans maybe that you've watched from afar. Maybe they don't even know you're watching them, but who are some of those guys on the defensive side of the ball, that side of the locker room, who you watch a lot of the time?
Definitely Kaiser, Zaven Collins, Dennis Gardeck, and of course you got to watch Buda. Their preparation, the way they know the game, the knowledge of the game that they have, you know, it speaks volume. And those guys are really detrimental to the success of the team and the success of the defense.
So I got to ask you right now, you know, each one of those guys that you mentioned right there, no doubt about it, watching them is really, really good. But when you talk about Buda Baker, you're talking about a guy that is a unicorn in the National Football League, as far as I'm concerned. He isn't the prototypical size for a safety, of course. All he does is go out and play the game of football the way that it should be played, from one snap to the last snap. Buda Baker is going to go out there and just crush people and throw his body around. When you watch him, what does it say to you? What has he taught you, BJ?
First of all, he's a heat-seeking missile. He comes every day juiced up, gives the team energy. His preparation is second to none, and it definitely shows on Sunday. So he's a great leader to watch and follow if you want to have the same success that he has.
Are you big into preparation yourself? Is that something you're learning that the National Football League, you have to do?
Most definitely. Every week is a great opponent, so preparation is definitely important, seeing the looks that you need to see so you can go out and execute flawlessly.
So from what I understand, like, you not only have practice, but then after practice, you're spending a lot of time with guys like Zaven Collins?
Yes, sir.
What's the objective there? What are you getting out of that when you spend that extra time with those veterans?
Just to get a better understanding of the game. Zaven is a guy who has a lot of reps under his belt. He knows stuff that I don't know. So spending that extra time with him, it really has helped me develop and be able to go out there on the field and feel more comfortable and play more free.
Why did you start playing the game of football? What do you love about the game?
I love the competitiveness of the game and the pursuit of greatness. That's what I really love about this game and the physicality of this game, going out there and being able to make plays in front of great fans and, you know, get the crowd roaring.
You know, that was one of the things that really appealed to me as well, just being able to step in between those white lines and basically act like an unmitigated savage.
Right, and most definitely.
Step outside and love people,
yes,
respect people, and treat them better than yourself.
Right.
It didn't get any better than that, right?
Right, it doesn't. It's definitely a blessing. And every time that I step on the practice field, every time that I step on the game field, I definitely want to, you know, give thanks because a lot of people want to be in this opportunity. They want to be in the NFL, and I'm in the NFL living the dream. So I definitely have to, you know, think that I'm blessed and give my thanks every time.
Okay. When was the first time you actually allowed yourself to dream about the National Football League? Were you younger?
Yeah, I was definitely younger. When I first started playing football, probably about 8 years old.
8 years old.
Yes, sir.
And you thought about the NFL?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You know what else you guys have in common is you both have older brothers
in
the NFL. Wolf, tell them about your older brother, because I'm curious. Your brother plays for the Giants, right, BJ?
Yes, sir.
And you know, to what degree did you just follow him as an 8 year old? Were you following your older brother into football?
Yeah. Well, we started playing at the same time, okay. So it was always a competition. Who's going to be the best? Who's going to get the most tackles, most touchdowns, most sacks? So it just continued on all the way through high school, through college, and now in the NFL.
See, my older brother is 5 years older than I am. His name is Craig. He's a butt gun. He played on the offensive line. That's what he did, right? For 12 years, he played in the National Football League. I played 10 years in the NFL. He now is the color analyst on the radio for the Pittsburgh Steelers, as a matter of fact. So how much older is your brother, BJ, than you?
Yeah, my brother is only 2 years older than me.
Only two?
Yep.
Boy, did you guys see, when I think of that right there, see?
Oh, yeah.
5 years apart is a big difference right there. Not only that, he was a big dude. He was 320 pounds, and so we didn't have any back and forth very much, right? But just 5 years separation as well, 2 years.
Yep.
That's a little bit more competitive, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Every day we're going at it. We're fighting in the house, breaking stuff, things, just the competitive nature of, you know, two young boys in the house. And I think that really helped our relationship, you know, as we grew older, having that kind of love and bond for each other. And, it was a great time growing up with him.
Well, I can only imagine. So you're competing with your older brother, and then when it comes time to play against kids your age, you must have dominated because you're so used to going against your older brother, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, just going home, going against him, coming back to practice is a no-brainer. You know, just that mental aspect of knowing that I can compete with him, and coming out here, I expect to dominate.
So here we are. You're halfway through, basically, your rookie year, and you've got games left here. Do you have a goal in mind that you say to yourself, man, this is what I want to do the rest of the season? This is what I want to produce. Do you have that?
For me, it's just a continuous progression of getting better. Each day, focusing on something that I can hone in on to improve my skill and my skill level, being able to contribute more to the team and to the defense, and making more impact plays to change the shifts of the game.
Look, we're going to get into your two sacks in depth in a little bit. Let's just talk about the win. Let's talk about the game. Let's talk about the return of Kyler Murray. Here's what Jonathan Gannon, your head coach, had to say about the return of K1.
He injects energy, he injects belief, he injects, you know, obviously the playmaking, and, you know, and he's the ultimate team guy, ultimate competitor. The guys know that, and they rally around that, and then, you know, he goes out there and takes us all the way down the field to win the game. That's why he is who he is.
Look, you've heard of Kyler Murray. Obviously, you came to the team, you saw him the last 3 weeks of practice, but what was it like to witness the Kyler experience in a game? From the sideline and see it firsthand.
Yeah, it was amazing. You can tell the whole team was excited. Offense went out first. All the guys are standing up on the sideline trying to get a peek of, you know, the first drive. And I think for his first game back, he did an amazing job. You know, he looked amazing out there, especially, you know, coming off of what he had to go through, running as fast as he did, making defenders miss. It was truly spectacular.
So, BJ, when you're on the sideline, when you're not actually on the field, what do you like to do? Do you like to stand up and actually watch the offense go about their business, or do you like to actually converse with some of your mates, some of your defensive linemen, some of your linebackers? Do you like to actually sit on the bench and talk? What do you do when the offense has the ball? What do you like to do?
Yeah, usually I'm standing up. Coach Rob will come with the iPad, break down the previous drive, anything, any corrections or stuff that you want to change.
And Coach Rob is your position coach,
yes,
correct?
Sir.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, and I like to stand up, keep my legs going, keep my legs warm. You know, if offense has a longer drive, you tend to get a little cold and tight, so I like to stand up and just stay warm.
You're not kidding, though. I mean, to start that game, there wasn't a single defensive player on the bench. Everyone was up watching Kyler Murray. And that's when you know.
Yep.
That's when you know guys were all in. And look, it was an that third quarter was so pivotal in so many ways. As a defense, you guys made some big-time adjustments. They had -2 total net yards in that third quarter, Atlanta. The halftime adjustments you guys made were nails from JG and Nick Rawls. And then there was a whole sequence, right? You had your sack, Kyler threw the pick, and then Taylor Heinicke got sacked by Gardeck, forcing a field goal. Then it came back. You had another sack. Dortch had the punt return, right? I mean, there's all this back and forth, otherwise known as complimentary football. And here's what Trey McBride, your standout tight end these days, what he had to say about that.
To have all three phases clicking like they were, it was cool. BJ gets a sack. Dortch takes a punt back. Mike, I thought, scored a touchdown. He got, you know, short on the one, but then, you know, Clayton goes in there and rushes it in. So that's what football is all about. You know, if one side does well, the other side doesn't, you're probably going to lose the game. You need all three phases to do that and to win games, and that's what we did on Sunday.
How much truth is there that, BJ? And BJ Ojulari is our guest here on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We're live from Trophy and Chandler, located on Queen Creek Road between Price and Dobson. One unit feeding off another. The offense makes a big play or scores a touchdown. I mean, how much does that fire up the defense when you guys take the field again?
Oh, yeah, it fires us up, especially touchdowns, any points, big blocks, big catches. It fires us up. You know, it makes us want to go harder for the offense and vice versa. When anybody makes a play, you see the whole bench stand up, congratulate them. We're yelling, we're shouting, and that's just the brotherhood that we're building here.
In terms of actually going out in between the white lines and waylaying people, just absolutely knocking their face off, who do you think is the baddest man inside that locker room, other than you, of course?
The baddest man inside that locker room? Oh, man. I'll say Matt Prater.
That's great. You know what?
And you say that because?
He's fearless, man. You know, I can't imagine the amount of pressure that he has to overcome when kicking a game-winning field goal or any field goal from 50-plus anywhere. So, yeah, I'll give it to him.
That's an excellent answer.
That is the best answer I've heard in a long time. Matt Prater in his career is 17 for 17 on game-winning field goal attempts. You're darn right he's fearless. You're absolutely right. That is outstanding. BJ Ojulari, our guest. A reminder, you can watch Cardinals in Focus Sundays, 9:30 a.m., 12 News. We'll get you ready for Week 11. Back with more here on the Big Red Rage with BJ Ojulari.
Up the middle, BJ Ojulari is there to grab Rodriguez at the line of scrimmage. Snap to Jackson, he's going to throw from the pocket. Looking in trouble, wrapped up and thrown down for a sack. BJ Ojulari gets his first sack. The rookie out of LSU gets a big sack here on Lamar Jackson.
Closed on Lamar Jackson quickly and got the sack. That is big time by BJ.
Heinicke play fake, in trouble, hits. And sacked by B.J. Ojulari back at the 10-yard line. A loss of about 10.
Oh, that is a big sack.
Back to pass goes Heinicke with time. Now the pocket collapses, and Heinicke sacked back at the 9-yard line. B.J. Ojulari having a breakout game with his second sack, forcing a punt.
Oh, the rookie once again would not be denied.
No biggie, just tying the franchise single-game record for a rookie with two sacks, and he is our guest, BJ Ojulari, here on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, live from Trophy and Chandler, located on Queen Creek Road between Price and Dobson. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and what's it like to hear him? You know, you were there. You're responsible for the sacks. What's it like when you hear the highlight back in your head?
It just brings back that moment. Just being able to close on a quarterback and finish the play, and the emotions that my teammates and just imagine them jumping and being so excited for me. So that's what it brings back.
So, BJ, do you have a preference in regard to which side you like to come off, the left side or the right side?
No, I don't have no preference. I feel pretty comfortable working on both sides. Coach Rob does a great job of, you know, making us be versatile and not just being sticking to one side.
Yeah, that's Coach Rob Rodriguez, the outside linebackers coach. What has he tasked you with from the get-go? Like, if we had him up here and we asked him, okay, what has been most important or where has he wanted to see you improve the most, what would your coach say?
Coach Rob would definitely say playing with better pad level, using my hands more violently, understanding the game in the coverage aspect. And that's what Zaven came along really, really well, going with him after practice and getting the perspective of a player on the field. So that really helped me create bigger strides in my game and be more comfortable out there.
BJ, there's no doubt about it. The two sacks are huge, and we know how big those are and how they impact an opposing team as well, even their morale. Those two sacks were huge right there. But to me, I got to tell you, the eight tackles, I like that better for you.
Yeah.
I was more impressed with the eight tackles, especially when you're an edge guy. A lot of times you're not going to get a ton of opportunities to make those tackles. Why so productive in terms of tackles?
Just the defensive philosophy, motor and violence, running to the ball and having the opportunity to create cap offs, try to go for the ball, create turnovers, and really just population. That's the biggest thing, just getting to the ball and getting the tackler, the runner down.
How many times would you estimate that you actually dropped into coverage in this last game against the Falcons?
I'll probably say about 10, 15 snaps.
Okay.
Of dropping coverage.
Yeah. There you go. And how many snaps did you get overall in terms of pass rushing?
I can't really say. I'll probably say about like 10.
About the same.
Well.
So
yeah.
It's almost 50-50 with you right there.
Yeah.
What do you like to do better?
I like both. I like to.
You like it.
Yeah.
I did not expect you to say that. I thought for sure, oh, coming off the edge, wanting to wax that quarterback's back.
Yeah, I like both. I like showing the versatility that I have.
That's cool.
Being able to drop in coverage, you know, opportunities to hopefully get a pick one day or something like that. But, yeah, rushing off the edge is my first love. And that's what I'm really good at. And hopefully I can continue to have the production off the edge.
All right, well, here's your head coach, Jonathan Gannon, talking about your performance, two sacks, eight tackles against Atlanta.
He's been doing a good job for us, you know, just like all our rookies. You know, the more snaps that they get, the more they see things, you know, the going against different guys, what we're asking them to do on a week-to-week basis. BJ, too, you know, he missed all of spring. I thought he played violent, physical. He rushed pretty well. He's playing the run pretty good too, so that's what I'm excited about.
Jonathan Gannon right there. You talk about the violent hands. Once upon a time we had Chandler Jones in that very seat. Of course, Chandler was 17 and 19 sack seasons, and his older brother happens to be John Bones Jones, right? And I mean,
oh, that's
MMA
right, Wally.
Expert with that. They used to work in the offseason on the hands. I mean, Chandler was lethal, but for everyone who hasn't rushed a quarterback like yours truly, Paulie Pencilneck, tell us, what do you mean by the hands, and how does that help you?
Hand placement is detrimental. Getting good leverage on an offensive lineman, using your length, creating separation, are just kind of the things that you need to be able to get to the quarterback. Of course, you got to have the hips and the good angles and stuff like that. But everything starts with your hands, especially playing a run. If you don't shoot your hands, the offensive lineman can get up on you. They can swallow you. And, of course, the hands protect you from anything, cut blocks as well. So everything starts with your hands.
So, BJ, how frustrated were you at the start of your NFL career with the OTAs that you had to miss, of course, training camp as well, a large portion of that? Talk to me a little bit about your start in the NFL and how frustrating was that?
It was very frustrating, especially going through my first surgery, not being able to go through OTAs, get those reps and be, you know, fine-tuned going into the first game. But, you know, I just kept my head down, kept grinding. I have a great group in the OLB room. Me and Garrett were doing our training together. So
Garrett Williams?
Yes, Garrett Williams.
Okay.
So we just continue to uplift each other. The team did a great job. Coaches reassuring me each and every time and just being patient with me getting back to the game. So, you know, I'm blessed just to be back in this point and being able to be on that field and make plays.
In fact, here's your defensive coordinator, Nick Rawls, just on that steady improvement you've been making throughout 2023. Rawls.
Every area of his game is slowly improving throughout the year. This past game, I thought it was his most complete game as far as, obviously, everyone saw the sacks. He rushed well. but in other aspects in coverage, he did a really good job getting on the right matches and smothering his coverage. He did really good in the run game. You know, that's a really good run offense. We just played with some good offensive tackles, and I thought he did a good job setting the edges in the run game.
Yeah, no doubt. Nick Rawls right there. Now, for those who don't know, your first career sack a couple weeks ago was against?
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson.
How about that?
How cool was that? Was that sort of a surreal moment to take down the former MVP?
Yeah, it definitely was. It's crazy because Led just kept telling me, "But man, this is going to be your first sack. This is going to be your first sack." And it happened. So it was definitely surreal. And when I got the sack, I didn't even know what to do. Like, all I can do is scream.
Did you say anything to him?
To Lamar?
Yes.
Oh, nah, I didn't say nothing to him.
You didn't say
nothing? Yeah, it's still respect. That's still Lamar Jackson. But I'm just, you know, I was just so excited to get the sack on him.
I just, you know, for me, once again, my rookie year, I had kind of a moment, an NFL moment, where I knew, oh, my goodness, I this is the National Football League. Mm. And some of the guys that I was playing against, I was a kid growing up collecting their cards. Have you had that yet?
Yeah.
Even though your short time, have you had that yet?
Yeah, I definitely had that. Preseason, I saw Patrick Mahomes in real life for the first time. you know, seeing guys like Lamar Jackson. Who else did I saw? I saw Geno as well, DK Metcalf and stuff. Just guys like that. It's just surreal, you know. And then you have to go against them and make plays against them. So it's pretty cool.
I mean, when the schedule came out, if you had to pick a quarterback you could sack, I'm guessing Lamar Jackson would be near the top of that list, right?
Most definitely.
Yeah. By the way, for those who aren't familiar, and this is really interesting, BJ is a descendant of Nigerian royalty. Explain to everyone, you're the grandson of a Nigerian prince. Mm. Give us a quick recap on that, because that's a really interesting aspect of your background.
Yeah, so my grandfather, he's a very renowned artist, musician as well, very respected back at home, and his name is Prince Twin 77. So he's a set of seven pairs of twins.
Wow.
So just the prince word is just a sign of respect and, you know, class and level, so just being able to be a part of his lineage and carry the same blood as him is very big for me as well. So,
that is really cool.
Seven sets of twins?
Yeah.
In your family?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, Paul. That is incredible right there. Wow.
I mean, I'm looking at this, a world-famous painter and musician who ended up touring the globe.
Yes.
Wow. That is
So, do you have any artistic... Gene and you at all? Or?
Nah, all the arts and music, all that stuff went to my sisters. And we just got to play ball. So.
And by the way, Wolf, because Wolf loves to know this, BJ grew up in Marietta, Georgia, all right? And notable alums of Marietta include two-time All-Star, former D-back, Dansby Swanson.
Yeah, wow.
Shortstop. Mm-hmm. And then Joanne Woodward. The famous actress going back to the 50s and 60s. I don't know, you know, it's interesting.
But, Paulie, you got to ask the money question right now. What was it like to grow up in Marietta, Georgia?
It was a great environment, great schools, great people around, great community. They supported us through high school and everything. So that's where we grew up. That's where we learned to, you know, play football as well. So. We owe a lot to Marietta.
And what was the name of your high school, and what sports did you play at high school?
So I went to Marietta High School. I played football, of course, basketball, and then I did field events and track.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. What did you, like, when you say field events, what kind of field events?
I did high jump, and I threw the discus. Yeah.
Wow.
That's so cool, man.
See your head
coach. Do you ever pick the discus up and chuck it now? Or?
No, I haven't picked one up since high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wolf, where are you ever going to pick up a discus and just throw
Paulie,
it?
Paulie, come on. Serious. These guys typically have them laying around their house.
I mean, they were breaking enough stuff as kids, you know, much less throwing the disc around the house. I mean, my goodness, it's like, you know,
my
service
brother was a
missiles.
Shot putter, Paul.
That's right.
He had shots all over the place.
Wolf would run for cover when his brother was practicing in the backyard. That's tough. By the way, you're still only 21 years of age?
Yes.
He graduated early from high school and went to LSU.
Wow.
That's remarkable. Okay. All right. I mean, what was it like when you left Georgia to go to LSU, by the way?
Oh, it was amazing. I'll pick LSU a million times over.
Yeah. Ah, that's good. You didn't hesitate with that.
What was the best thing about going to LSU?
The culture. The culture is second to none. The people second to none. The people you're going to come across, and especially playing in Tiger Stadium, I feel like everyone should go to Tiger Stadium for a night game.
Okay, yep. When you say the culture, though, you know, everyone talks about the culture, and I talk about culture all the time as well. It's so critical. Tell people why.
Yeah, culture is everything. The school, the colors, the fans, and then you're going to carry LSU for the rest of your life. And I can recommend LSU to any football player because I felt like they never did me wrong and they got me, helped me get to this point. And there's so many good people. It's a brotherhood. It's a real family that's going to really take care of you.
On the football side of things, when you start talking about culture at LSU, culture to me on the football side is this is who we are and this is how we do things around here.
Right.
That's culture to me. Can you explain that? What's it like to be a football player at LSU?
First of all, you're expected to be physical. You're going to play some physical football, and you're going to play against the best. You're in the SEC West, so you're going to be playing against the top-tier guys, and you're expected to perform. Guys who came before you, Joe Burrow, the Ja'Marr Chases, all those guys are still going to be watching and expecting you to perform at the highest level. So that's really the culture. It's a complete brotherhood. And that's how I'll describe it.
That's awesome. Yeah,
Tyrann Mathieu, Pat P., former Cardinals. By the way, the number 18 is awarded annually to the player who best reps the outstanding traits of an LSU player. You wore it there, and that's a big reason why you wear it with the Cardinals. We continue the Big Red Rage. B.J. Ojulari, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Murray back to throw, lobs it near side, and what a beautiful grab by McBride.
Kyler Murray just flicked a pea into a thimble.
Looking deep, firing far side, and it's caught inside the 40 by Brown, down to the 30. Great throw by Kyler Murray.
Just dropped the dime.
Snap to Murray, and he's going to keep it running left. He's at the 5, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. Kyler Murray is back.
The mighty Kyler Murray.
Three-step drop in trouble. Moving to his left. And he spins away from a defender. Running to the right. At the 25. At the 30. At the 40. At the 50. And dives to the 45-yard line in Falcon territory. A first down gain of 13. That's the Kyler Murray we remember.
No doubt, Dave Pasch, really well done. Kyler Murray, what a debut, 11 months to the day, and on that big scramble, officially a 13-yard gain. But next-gen stats say cover nearly 70 yards. He exceeded 20 miles per hour.
Come on, man.
And that's when we knew. We truly knew, as Dave said right there, Kyler Murray. He is back, and the Cardinals get back in the win column. And to boot, he orchestrated a game-winning drive at the very end. It is the Arizona Cardinals' Big Red Rage with B.J. Ojulari, our special guest here, all presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert, live from Trophy and Chandler, located on Queen Creek Road between Price and Dobson, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley. And, B.J., I know you've been asked already this week, but give us your thoughts, your impressions, especially now that you've had a chance to process what you saw. What stood out the most just watching Kyler Murray?
His ability to extend plays, that really stood out the most to me. And putting the ball on the money, especially that throw he had to Trey McBride on the sideline. he makes those kind of throws in practice all the time. So that was really, really amazing to see.
You know, for me, Paulie, I still can't believe what I saw. You know, even now, it's Thursday. And my expectation for Kyler Murray was that he was going to go out there, and there's no doubt about it, we were going to see his talent on display. I just didn't think we were going to see the 4-3.
No.
I did not think we were going to see the 4-3, and we saw the 4-3 from Kyler Murray out on the field. Physically, we saw him drop some dimes, make some incredible throws, use his legs, of course, to extend plays. But not only that, Paulie, intellectually and mentally, he was out there going through his progressions. He was out there reading coverage and making throws. And that to me, made me more encouraged than anything that I saw physically.
What did you see in practice in the 3 weeks leading up to the game? Because, you know, we've had a lot of guys on this show say, hey, first week of practice, Keontae Ingram said it. He was audibly checking into play, so you knew that he knew the offense. Even just, in fact, he'd only seen it up on the screen. He never even repped it out on the field. But what was it like, just Kyler in practice for 3 weeks?
Yeah, you can see him going through his progressions, you know, checking stuff down, doing the audibles, like he said, making those throws in 7-on-7. I think they did a great job, you know, just, you know, easing him in the first week or so. And then when he finally got the call to that he's going to start, you know, it was like he's been out there for a couple weeks.
And here's Trey McBride. Let's start with first the physical side of it, right? What Wolf said and what you mentioned about him extending plays. Yeah, that stood out to Trey McBride as well.
Yeah, just to play with a guy like that who can make plays. You know, when you think the play's over, it's never over with him. You know, I think back to that Raiders game last year where he had that two-point conversion. It's just he does it all the time. It's not out of the normal for him to do that. We're always told the play's never dead when one's back there because you never know what he's going to do.
Yeah, by the way, Trey McBride just had the first 100-yard receiving game for a Cardinals tight end since 1989. How about that?
By the pricking of my thumb, something wicked this way comes.
He had 8 grabs, a buck 31, 7 first downs. He had 40 yards after contact. I mean, we'll get back into Kyler, but we're seeing Trey McBride really blossom. I mean, tell us how impressive the tight end has been.
Oh, yeah, he's really good. We go against each other in practice all the time. He's not just good in the passing game, but also in the run game. Great base, great point of attack as well. And he's another one of those guys who prepares very well.
That is a guy, I just have to tell you right now, I don't think we're ever going to see Trey McBride be a guy that isn't going to be a big part of a game plan going forward. I don't think we're ever going to see that again, Paulie.
Facts.
Some of the stuff that he was showing and has shown this year, I mean, Red Sea, you can see it, can you not? The confidence level this guy has. You know what it speaks to, BJ? It really does. It just reminds me that confidence is the currency of competition. You buy and sell performances based on how confident you are. And watching him, and it reminds me of you, because this game for you was a big game. 2-sack game for you as a rookie. 8 tackles. Man, your confidence has got to be high. And how is that going to help you?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Confidence is everything. When you can go out there and know that you're expected to make those plays and can make those plays, you know, you just find a way to do it. And I think that was a big thing for Trey. He's always been that threat. And it was just a great game for both of us to display it.
Yeah, Trey told us after the game, he went up to Kyler, said, I'm killing this guy in man-to-man. He said, if he's got me man, just chuck it up there. And there was a 33-yarder at the end that helped set up the game-winning field goal. And it was all part of Kyler running the offense, a brand-new scheme. He's never run this sort of scheme before, not in high school, not in college. And so the question this week to Kyler, all right, you have a game under your belt, just what's the comfort level?
It was new. A lot of, you know, terminology and stuff like that, being out there, seeing a certain coverage and, you know, thinking back to, like, you know, old habits or things that we would do. Not being able to go to what I would normally go to, having to stay with what we're doing now. There's definitely some old habits that want to, you know, creep back in when you're out there. But, no, that's good, you know, breaking those habits, trusting the process and with Drew's coaching, teaching. It's been great.
I mean, it's one thing to go after a quarterback, right? But when the quarterback both has the athleticism and the ability to get rid of the ball early, right, make quick reads, quick throws, I mean, that can frustrate a guy trying to get to the quarterback, right?
Right. Oh, most definitely. Quick game. A guy who's as evasive as Kyler and fast is definitely very, very, you know, frustrating.
So when you're dropping into a zone room, okay, when you're playing defense and you're in a coverage and you're dropping into a zone room, do you ever try to let the quarterback see something that is not really happening? In other words, do you not look at him on purpose yet? You know where he's looking. Do you ever do anything like that to try to trick the quarterback in his read?
I wouldn't say I'm that advanced yet, but that's probably something that Dennis or Zaven is very capable of. For me right now, just getting my eyes very precise, and when I progress in my coverage, I'll definitely be able to do stuff like that.
And the eyes are so critical when you play the game of football, isn't it?
Right, most definitely. The eyes are everything. If you take your eyes off a man for 1 second, that can be the little separation that they need to go for a 50 or even a touchdown.
Yep.
How much better are you in that department? Because, like, when you play a 49ers team in week four, right, Kyle Shanahan is known for trying to mess with the defense's eyes, right, all the motion and the eye candy and that kind of stuff. So how much better and more adept do you think you are at this point going into week 11?
I think I'm way better, you know, especially going in early in the season to San Francisco. The game was just so fast, so many motions, and now everything is slowing down. I'm able to process and analyze stuff way faster.
All right, Kyler Murray, you know, look, we saw him out there, and it was mighty impressive. And it's not just what he did on the field, but it's the respect he's earned off the field and in the training room. I mean, you tell us, you were with Garrett Williams. How often did you see Kyler in the offseason since you weren't on the field?
Yeah, Kyler was there every day. First one there, last one to leave, getting extra treatment. Still to this day, getting extra treatment after practice, doing the workouts with Buddy, continue to do the strengthening and stuff. So he's on it. He's on it, you know, more than anybody.
And someone asked him this week, are you different? Have you changed, you know, as a person, as a player, after going through your first significant injury? Here's Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I think I'm a different person. I think so. I think just some things that, you know, happen to you, you can't really control. It just, you know, either elevates you or bring you down. But I think this is one of those things that, like I said, everything happens for a reason. I think it was for the better, not only for me, but just for everyone, you know. And I think that the light's different right now. You know, I think people around me, teammates, everybody, it's just different energy.
Jonathan Gannon described it as a jolt of energy, Kyler's return, right? A jolt of belief. What's it like when you know you have a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback and you go into a game? When you have that guy at quarterback, what's that do for the rest of the team?
It's very exciting. On the defensive end, you know, like I said, he's able to extend plays, get more first downs and stuff like that. So, you know, we're going to go harder. We know that the offense is going to be able to put those points up, and we're going to be able to stop him. So just going the extra mile just to get him the ball back so he can do what he does.
You know, this is just me, Paulie, and in my observation right now, but there does seem to be a paradigm shift with Kyler Murray right now. When you hear him say the light is different, I love that term. We got to put that on a T-shirt, Paulie, right there. The light is different. And he said that he is a different person because of what he's been through. Man, there's so many positives that can come out of that if you just adopt them as positives. And I think he has.
Well, I think he has that appreciation for the game that maybe he never had before because he never had it taken away from him. Mm. And he's learned how much he loves the game itself.
And I also think, Paulie, too, he's working so hard at his craft right now. It was always a situation that came so easy to him in the offense, in the college offense. But now he's blending the NFL offense.
I think he knows how much upside there is in this scheme. Hey, it's the Big Red Rage with BG Ojulari back from Trophy Live. We're here in Chandler.
On first and goal, Stroud gets the snap. CJ looking, scrambling forward. CJ on the run across the five. He's in! Touchdown, CJ Stroud! The quarterback with the touchdown run.
Nobody is expecting it. Mm-hmm. He has presented himself as a pocket passer. And you just don't know, can he run or not? We haven't seen him really do it a whole lot. Yeah, he can run.
It's funny, Paris Johnson Jr. telling the media yesterday that a guy he played all his years with at Ohio State, even in high school together, they're very familiar, right? And Paris Johnson Jr. saying about C.J. Stroud, he doesn't want to run it, but he will. And if he does, he's got wheels. But, you know, and you saw it against Georgia in the playoff game last year. He finally decided to run it. So he has that ability, but so far he hasn't shown it a lot.
I don't think, Paul, there's any quarterback in the NFL that really wants to run it. I think they'd rather throw it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
I mean,
all right. Well, let's ask our guest, BG Ojulari. It's the Big Red Rage. We are live from Trophy in Chandler, all presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. What do you think? I mean, you know, do you ever psychoanalyze some of these quarterbacks? I mean, when you go into a game, you're like, okay, I need to know what makes this guy tick, his tendencies. what will cause him to tuck it and run it? I mean, how in-depth do you get studying a quarterback before each game?
Every quarterback is different. You know, every quarterback has different tendencies. C.J. Stroud, he's playing at a very high level right now. He likes to stay in the pocket, but when he does decide to run, it's a good decision. He's getting good yards, and he does have the speed, you know, to get first downs and extend plays.
You know, one of the things I love about C.J. Stroud is this is a kid that sees the field really, really well, Paul. And he spreads the ball all over the field, doesn't he? I mean, I'm watching him throw the ball to a number of different receivers, of course, and he's done a great job including everybody. And that tells me that he's reading coverage, that he's going through his progression, and he's throwing to the open receiver. He's not really focusing on one receiver, is he?
Nah, he's distributing the ball very well. They definitely have some good weapons on their team, and he definitely does a good job getting them the ball. They have a good running back as well. He runs the ball very hard, and I think he helps their offense go as well.
You know, he leads the NFL not only in passing yards per game, but in touchdown interception ratio. 15 touchdowns, just two picks. Here's Jonathan Gannon on the rookie quarterback who, forget rookie of the year. I mean, he blew that out of the water 2 weeks ago. He's now in the MVP conversation. Here's JG.
He can make all the throws, and he's a mobile guy. He's a big guy, you know, so he's hard. Sometimes you think that you're going to get him down, and you don't get him down, and he extends plays, and he can throw it all over the yard. So big-time challenge for us.
2 weeks ago against Tampa, he had 470 yards passing and five touchdowns, both NFL rookie records for a single game. So it is remarkable. It really is. When you look at their offense, though, it's very similar to the 49ers because their offensive coordinator came from San Francisco, but they have a lot of depth. I mean, they did it last week without their first-string running back, their first-string receiver, right, their number one receiver. So tell us, in terms of this offense, you can't necessarily focus on one player, right? You have a tendency to focus more on the scheme, I would imagine.
Yeah, most definitely. We're focused on the scheme. Like you said, they have some similarities to San Francisco, but at the same time, they don't do everything, you know, the same as well. So we're definitely focused on the scheme, trying to make CJ make some bad decisions, and hopefully we can pressure him and get to him some way.
How about their offensive line? It's so critical, of course. That, to me, is where football is still played, on the offensive line, the defensive line of scrimmage, gap integrity. When you look at this offensive line and watch how they play, what do you see?
They have a good offensive line. They keep him protected, especially, you know, he has left tackle Laremy Tunsil. They have a good unit as well in front. They are good at the point of attack and run. So for us, it's just playing technique sound, playing gap sound as well. And we have a good front. Led, K-Strong, Dante, all those guys are very prepared, and we're ready to go to war.
Yeah, what do you think of Tunsil, right? I mean, his Twitter handle is King Tunsil. He's one of the highest-paid left tackles in the game. What do you see there?
A great technician, big as well, good feet. But, you know, we just have to use our technique against him.
You know what's really interesting here? They jump into 11 personnel. They're in it 53% of the time in rundown situation, first and 10, second and 1 to 6. But they throw it 60% of the time when they get into 11 personnel. They jump into 21 personnel, Paul, with a fullback, I might add, 37% of the time. And then they pound the football. What's their two-back scheme look like on tape?
Yeah, it's really good. They believe in the run game, and they believe that they have to get the run game going to get everything else going. So for us, it's just staying sound in the run game so we can get to third down and pressure the quarterback.
I want to come back to the size of some of these tackles. 2 weeks ago against Cleveland, they had a guy 6'8", 375. What is it like to go against a mountain like that?
It's crazy. Yeah, DeJuan Jones, man, he's very big. Arms are very long. So it's all about leverage, getting under him and, you know, being able to get his hands off of you. And, yeah, just not engaging him because he's definitely going to engulf you no matter what because he's so big.
So I had the opportunity to talk to you just a week ago, as a matter of fact. Tell Paul, what's your favorite pass rush? Tell Paul what your favorite pass rush is.
So my favorite pass rush, Coach Rob, he's really been working on me with my hands, of course, and my posture. So right now I like the stab. I like the stab and go and the stab and the lift. right now. So those are my two go-tos right now.
So you have that, Paulie. Did you get that down?
No,
write
I love
that down.
I love the verbiage.
The stab,
no, I do. You know,
and go and the stab and lift.
Now is that different than the long arm stab? I'm always a fan of the long arm stab.
Oh yeah, definitely. You always got to have a good stab to set those wrestlers up.
It's not a long arm when Paul does it.
Okay, easy. By the way, Will Anderson. Did you get to know Will Anderson in the draft process at all?
Yeah, most definitely. Will is a great guy and a great football player.
Okay, he's the number 3 pick overall. C.J. Stroud, number 2. Will Anderson, number 3. So we'll see. A couple of all-time SEC pass rushers going to be in this game, right?
Yes, sir.
I think he has 2 sacks on the season as well, Paul.
Yeah. All right. Hey, look, we enjoyed it. How about it, everyone, for B.J. Ogilari here in the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. I mean, just outstanding. Special thanks, as always, Jim Omohundro, Cody Fincher, Mark Lazarus, Brian DuBose, Ron Wolfley, I'm Paul Calvisi. Special thanks to everyone here at Trophy in Chandler, located on Queen Creek Road between Price and Dobson. Cardinals at Houston. Once again, special thanks to B.J. Ogilari in this edition of the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Right on the Price, right on the corner of the Santan 202 Freeway in Val Vista. The Rage is brought to you by SeatGeek, your ticket to great seats, and by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcast. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.